So let's talk about an AI survival guide for you using ChatGPT. And one of the things and goals that we want to try to accomplish in this process is really to minimize the number of AI tools that you use on a regular basis. There are a number of them. They continue to grow on a daily basis, and you can just continue to buy tools without necessarily really getting a handle on how they really affect what it is you're trying to do to generate an income. And whether you're an information marketer or whether you are a marketer of your product or service, if you're going to use AI, you want to be aware of just the minimum number of what you need in order to be effective. You want to minimize the number of sources that you are generating those that AI from. And what I suggest that you do is focus first on ChatGPT Plus. And again, it's not that ChatGPT Plus is going to be perfect. It's a paid subscription. It is something that you got to pay for monthly. But instead of paying for tens of subscriptions for various uses, one way to get access to quite a few tools in one area to do just about everything you're going to need to do as an information marketer or as a marketer is going to be ChatGPT Plus. And you want to make sure that you're making use of the highest level. ChatGPT Plus will give you two levels. It'll give you the common level that everyone is using. It'll also give you access to the most, I'd say, the most robust level. And the only reason that you would not use a robust level is that you are using more than the capacity than ChatGPT will allow you. And that's pretty hard to r bump up against. I mean, if you're using it kind of in one instance, and you're using it quite a bit, you can bump up against the limits, but generally, it's pretty hard to overcome or cross the limits of the highest level. So, whenever you can make use of the highest level, make use of the plugins. We're going to talk about that here. You want to make use of custom instructions when you can. And you want to make use of the file analysis. And the file analysis does so much that you want to make sure you understand at minimum what it does and what it can do for you. And we will discuss that here in the session. For example, the file analysis can do PDF summaries. So if you have a long, complicated PDF and you have ChatGPT Plus, you can upload that PDF to ChatGPT Plus and you can ask ChatGPT Plus for a summary. You can ask it for the main points. You can ask it for bullet points. So if you have, again, very long, very complicated, very hard to understand documents, you can ask ChatGPT to help you not only to understand it, but at minimum for you to get your arms around the basic principles in what it is trying to say. It will compile documents. And so if you have a number of different documents, they've got a lot of different elements in it, you can take all those documents, you can squish them into one area, and you can kind of get the gist so you can be able to explain it to your customer. And if you do coding of any kind, for example, maybe you only do the basic kind of coding, which is HTML. If you do that, ChatGPT can help you to redo any HTML that you need to do. And you can pretty much give it instructions as you would be giving to a designer. And you're going to tell ChatGPT to rearrange your HTML file. Now, if you're not using HTML files, then that's not going to be a concern to you, but it is something that you can do with the file analysis area. And you definitely want to make use of custom GPTs. And custom GPTs are probably the future of ChatGPT as of the recording of this. They really want people to not just create them, but also to use them. And they're custom ways of you to be able to use ChatGPT in specific areas of your business. So if you have specific things that you want to do and you can use the AI to do it, you can get custom GPTs on just about everything, in addition to being able to create your own, not only for your use, but for the use of your customers. So you want to make sure you're using the custom GPTs. You want to make sure that you're creating custom GPTs. You want to also make sure that you're sharing custom GPTs with your customer in ways that benefit your brand. So ways that are consistent with your brand, we will talk about that here in this session. But if you can do that, you will then be creating probably software in areas where you probably were not able to create software before. Now, there's some particular aspects we will discuss about doing that. But you definitely want to be sharing your own custom GPTs if you're going to be an information marketer in any way. You also want to monetize your custom GPTs. We'll talk about that too here in this session. First, I do want to talk about ChatGPT plugins, which I mentioned. And what you want to be able to do when you're using ChatGPT, now ChatGPT plugins are only available when you're using ChatGPT Plus. And even though ChatGPT now really kind of focuses and tries to direct you to use GPTs, the plugins are still available, and there are many plugins that will probably continue to be available because of the way that they function. And really, GPTs are probably not the best way in order to do some of the functions. So you want to get used to and understanding the ChatGPT plugins. Some of those plugins are going to be free, and some of them are going to be paid. And as things evolve with ChatGPT, they will allow you to connect with those plugins. They'll allow you to use it free for a limited amount of time, but eventually you are probably going to be bumping up against some limits where you're going to have to pay in order to use it. Now, one thing I will tell you is that you want to be careful about how you set up the accounts when you're using a paid plugin. You probably want to use the same email address that you're using in order to get into ChatGPT. It can be difficult to remember where you're setting up these accounts. So if you're going to be setting up paid accounts, make sure you're using all the same email addresses, all the same passwords if you can, when you're using these paid plugins. Expect that those are going to be valuable to you. They're going to be paid. Expect that. So if you start using a ChatGPT plugin and it really works for your business, whether now or in the future, expect that it's going to be paid. Typically, they will try to kind of rope you in and get you used to using it. And at some point, they will turn those plugins to pay. They will probably not be available for free forever. Really, the way that people are going to be monetizing their extension of ChatGPT will be through GPTs, not through plugins. So most of the plugins, if they're not paid now, they will eventually be paid. Because ChatGPT is really trying to get people to create GPTs so that they can help you to monetize them in some way if you are a creator by getting people engaged with the plugin. And what ChatGPT is trying to do, obviously, is keep people on the platform. And so they will pay you if you can keep people on the platform and keep people engaged. It's really not been decided as a recording of this what it's going to look like in order to monetize a GPT, but that's basically what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you to keep people on the platform by creating a piece of custom or custom design coding that people can use and understand. Some of the plugins are going to have GPT capability. You do want to make sure that you understand that. And elements that you may or may not know, that when you're using custom instructions, you can use the plugins along with custom with plugins. And typically, you can't do that with GPTs currently. So if you're trying to decide, well, should I use a GPT or should I use a plugin, and it does the same function, if you have given ChatGPT custom instructions and you're trying to create a context for what it is you're trying to do in ChatGPT, That's a reason for you to use a plugins instead of a GPT, because currently you'd have to program in the custom instructions into the GPT. But if you didn't have a plugin, then you would then need to make sure that, you know, you kind of get everything into the context of what you're trying to do within a custom GPT. And so I'm going to say that when you're using ChatGPT plugins, you always start with two different prompts. And you want to start by asking ChatGPT within that conversation, what does this plugin do? And let ChatGPT tell you what it does. If you need to iterate, if you need to ask more questions about what that means, sometimes what you can do with a chatbot is you can say, you put this in plain language and language I understand. Sometimes ChatGPT will return to you with very technical language about what a plugin does. You want to make sure you understand it in your own words. And so you can get it, so you can understand what it does for you, what you can do to it, how you can prompt it to get it to do what you want it to do. You want to ask ChatGPT inside of the conversation with the plugin. Ask it for prompts that will show you how to leverage the plugin. I typically ask for 10. You can ask for however many you want. You want to get ChatGPT to tell you, here's how you create a prompt for this plugin, for use with this plugin. You also want to do that within the context of having your custom instructions in there, because you want to be able to tell ChatGPT, I want to be able to prompt using this plugin within the context of the custom instructions. So That's a good way to use ChatGPT in a custom way if you're using the plugins and you are also using custom instructions and you are also making sure that you're getting ChatGPT to tell you different prompts on how you leverage the plugin. There are going to be some cases where you will turn on a plugin and you will prompt it and it will not work. And one of the things you can always do is check back. Sometimes the not working is temporary. Other times it's just not going to work anymore. And that's when you want to go over to GPTs. In some cases, the person who created the plugin, they may have moved it over to a GPT because it's going to be easier for them to monetize. And you want to use it over in the GPT side. Now, I just talked to you a little bit about using custom instructions. You want to make sure you use custom instructions a lot. So anytime you create a different context, so instead of going into ChatGPT and telling it, well, I'm a designer, or I'm a marketer who has customers in this market or niche. Well, those are the kinds of things which create the context for what you're trying to do. Put those things inside of custom instructions, and you want to use them liberally. So whenever you can, start a new conversation, add new custom instructions, and then start your prompts to try to use ChatGPT. This is a way of programming the chatbot for instructions that you use on a regular basis. So if you are always telling the chatbot, well, this is what I do for my business, or here's what I want to do in this section, you find yourself saying that over and over again in different conversations. You want to make sure that you create a conversation with those custom instructions of things you're telling the chatbot over and over again when you create different conversations. It's a way of not having to remind the chatbot of what your intent is. So if your intent is to get the chatbot to do something specific and you're continuously reminding it in order to do them, you want to put those things in custom instructions to make it easy for the chatbot to understand what you're trying to do. You also want to start with using custom instructions for whatever your entire intent is. So if you think about what is your end goal, right? So if you're coming to the chatbot and you're saying, well, my end goal is to create a logo. And you have a reason that you want to create those logos. You might say that you're a designer and you're looking to create logos for different kinds of customers. Well, those are the kinds of things that you want to put into custom instructions for your conversation. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be a designer. I'm saying that you want to think about what your final intent is, and when possible, program that into the chatbot as a custom instruction. When you get the opportunity, you're going to have 1,500 characters in the context creation area. Try to use all of them. So, don't leave anything to chance. Explain everything to the chatbot as you can. You want to make sure you're getting everything that you can over and over again so that when you come back to that conversation, it knows what it is that you're trying to do and why you're trying to do it. Now, the bottom half of custom instructions tells you about how do you want the output. So, do you want it in a specific format? Do you want it to call you by a specific name? Do you want it to be funny? Do you want it to be serious? Do you want it to be in a certain mood? Do you want it to joke around with you? The bottom half talks about how do I want the output? So, you want to make sure you tell and program the chat. And again, you get 1,500 characters. Now, it's not necessarily as important as the top half. But if you can't fill that up, fill it up with all of your instructions and how you want the output. And like I said, you're talking about nature, right? Style and mood in that bottom area of custom instructions. Anytime that you don't necessarily need them, turn them off, right? So if your context does not dictate that the custom instructions that you're giving it on a regular basis, if you're just trying to go for some general information, make sure you turn your custom instructions off for that conversation. And anytime you come back to a conversation where you use custom instructions, you can always come back to that conversation. And the chatbot, now I use the word remember there. It's a machine. It doesn't technically remember anything, but it will understand that you were trying to go back to that conversation, and it remembers what you put in there in terms of custom instructions when you have to use that conversation again. Now, you want to make sure you use and you are using your labels so that when you look at your labels, you understand exactly what's in that particular conversation. So you got to rename a conversation, spell it in all caps, or spell it in a way so that you understand what it's saying and what it actually does for you. I want to spend a little time talking about file analysis. File analysis, kind of an important part of what ChatGPT Plus does. And the best way to use file analysis, you've got to test it. You've got to see what all it'll do for you. And there's some ways you can do that. And everything's going to be peculiar to your part of the business. You might see people using Chat GPT Plus and the file analysis in different ways. That doesn't mean that that's the way you're going to use it. You don't want to be limited to the way that other people use it. You got to think about the way that you manipulate files. And so basically, you want to go in and ask what kind of file types it takes. And it's going to give you an answer depending on when you're hearing this. You want to find out what kind of file types. Give me a list of files that I can upload for some kind of file manipulation or analysis. Right? So get it to tell you. Also, for each kind of file type, now this is going to take you some time. You're not going to necessarily want to do this, but it is important to do. Ask it for 10 sample prompts of its capability. So find out, right? Find out what it does, and then ask for 10 sample prompts based on the file type, each file type that it takes, specifically going to be the ones that you use on a regular basis. Now, if you upload a PDF, it doesn't necessarily give you back a PDF, just so you'll know. So you're not always going to be able to get back the same file type that you upload. But what's really cool is it can analyze and summarize, right? So again, we just talked about that a minute ago. You've got a bunch of PDFs. You're trying to get the gist of it. And let's say you upload five different PDFs. You're trying to understand what's common denominator for all of these. Now, again, this is not a perfect process, and it's really kind of skimming, trying to understand these things. But in a pinch, you can get some summary information that'll be helpful to you. And interestingly, now this is just a particular aspect of what the file analysis does. Please do not look at this and think this is all it does. Don't even think that this is one element that's going to be representative of a lot of the things it does, because it's just one little teeny weeny weeny aspect of what you can do with it. So, for example, let's say you've got a JPEG. You can upload that JPEG and you can ask ChatGPT, change the file type, right? I want to be able to use this as a PNG. And you can ask it to do that. In some cases, it will actually do that. It can split audio and video files. But one thing that you can do is you can extract demographic information from a CSV. So let's say that you've got your autoresponder files. You've got a bunch of names in there. What you want to know is, well, hey, of all of the people who have subscribed to me, are most of them, where are they from? Or what gender are they? Or what can you tell about these particular people who have subscribed to me? You can ask that based on a CSV file, and I'll show you what you would do. So here I've asked the chatbot. I've said, well, hey, I'd like to upload a CSV file of all my contacts. How many of these people, when I upload this file, are going to be male and how many are female? Right? Now, this is something that you can do, right? It's one aspect of the manipulation. Now, again, this is not representative of what it does. It's one aspect. You've got to think creatively about how you use files and what you can ask ChatGPT to do. And so here's what it returned, right? It returned an element. It tried to analyze, it tried to look at the file, and tried to say, well, hey, here's what I think are the number of males you have. Here's what I think are the number of females you have. Here's why I just can't tell based on the name, right? So again, now it's not perfect. It's not going to be, but it's the kind of thing that you can do with a file analysis if you start by trying to understand first all the file types you use and all the file types you may be interested in finding out. We talked about understanding what, changing a file type. So here's a web image. So it's actually an image that I downloaded from ChatGPT. And when you create an image in ChatGPT, in general, it's going to give you or return to you a WebP file, right? So you may not use those. You primarily use PNG files, as you see here. So basically, what would you do? What you would do is you'd re-upload that file to ChatGPT, and you'd re-upload that file, and you'd say, well, hey, can you turn this file into a PNG? Right? That's pretty much what I did. I took the WebP file, uploaded it, and then asked it to turn it into a PNG, and it does that. Right, so file analysis can do a number of different things. And the most important thing for you to understand is first, what do you do with files? Right, understand what you do with files. Then you've got to try to get a sense for the capability of ChatGPT and what it can do. And then you want to test different things. You want to test different things that you're doing with files. You just want to ask the chatbot, well, do this for me. In some cases, it will not do it. In other cases, it will. I want to talk now about custom GPTs for monetization. And we want to get into, well, how do I monetize GPTs? What can I do with these things? And custom GPTs are, again, that way of custom coding, of you being able to create GPTs for your own use or for the use of your customer. And when you first think about, well, how can I use these for marketing? Whatever marketing. In particular, it probably works very well if you're an information marketer, but it works regardless of what you are marketing. In particular, when you are the brand, when you are your own brand for whatever it is you're selling, you can use GPTs in order to help you in your marketing. So, for example, you can add a GPT, a custom GPT, and it can be the USP for your product. Now, if let's say you say, well, we create, you know, I you create a GPT and it's part of your product, right? So you're saying, well, right along with this, I'm going to give you this GPT that you can use along with the product. Now you want to understand that that's not going to be your USP for long, right? Because why? Because anybody can create one, right? They're fairly easy to create. They're fairly easy to copy and understand. So just by creating a GPT doesn't mean that it's going to be unique and doesn't mean that it creates the kind of value and separation from your competition. You want to create some separation from your competition using the GPT. You got to be thinking in these along these lines. What can somebody who's coming behind me not copy? Well, they can't copy any specialized knowledge I have. So when I program a GPT, I'm going to be creating something that depends on something I know, something I've learned that other people may not have learned. So again, if you're using common knowledge and common ways of approaching things, well, anybody can do that. When you start talking about giving people something that they cannot get elsewhere, which is the nature of a GPT, what you're trying to do is you're putting some specialized knowledge in. Some aspect of your experience, some aspect of your expertise that people cannot get from other people, people cannot get from a chatbot, people cannot get from elsewhere. Put that into the programming of your GPT. Very important element for you to be able to do, especially if you want to use that GPT as separation. All right, so when you are creating a GPT, what you want to try to do is to input knowledge that people cannot get from elsewhere. Areas from your expertise, areas from your experience, and you want to program those into the GPT. And even if you use it in the sales or bonus context, you want to focus on what it is you bring to the GPT. And this is the essence of a USP. You want to be able to say, we're the only ones that do blank, right? That's what your brand should say anyway, right? You should have a USP for your brand. That we are the only ones that do this. We are the only ones that do it this way. We are the only ones that deliver this. That should be something you should be saying about your brand, regardless of what you sell. So it's especially important when you're an information marketer. It's important, really, when you are selling electronics, if you are an engineer, if you are a consultant, even if you are employed. Right? If you are employed full time, you should have a USP. You should be able to say, and back up that you are the only one in your company that does something. Right now, where do we go with that? Here's what you say about your GPT. You can say I said our system because I just didn't call it a GPT. I could say, you know, this programming that you're about to use, it's programmed with our proprietary method, or it's programmed with our 25 years of experience in doing X. Right? So, in other words, what am I saying to the customer? I'm giving you this GPT, or it's part of my product. Yes. I know you've seen these things elsewhere. Yes. But you can't get this from any place. When I put this in this GPT, you can't get this from any place. You need to be doing that inside of your GPT if you're going to create one. That's the best way to monetize these things. I have no idea whether or not OpenAI is going to do away with these things. They might, right? We don't know. We don't know what the future is going to be. But let's say that they're going in that direction, and you're going to create a GPT, and you want people to use it, and you want people to be engaged by it. You've got to say the kinds of things to people. Now, I'm not saying just to use it as a sales tactic. Be able to back it up, right? So if you really do have those 25 years of experience, you want to make sure that you really do program it into the GPT, and it does show up when the customer uses it. The other aspect of marketing, you can use custom GPTs as an upsell, right? If you're going to add the use of a GPT as part of your upsell. Now, understand something. The USP doesn't go away. So this is not different. It's on top of. So yes, regardless of all situations, your GPT must have a USP. It can't just be it's cool. It can't just be it does these things that other people know about. It should be it does these things other people know about, yet it's got this element that nobody else can put in there because it's got something that I put in there. Right? That's what your GPT has to have. You need to be able to say that. Now, if you can say that, it should still have something in it when you put it into your upsell, right? That gives you that sustainable competitive advantage, not easy to copy. But it needs to follow basic funnel science laws, right? So if you're going to make it part of an upsell, what's the basic funnel science? And I'm not saying that all funnels are like this, but this is basic funnel 101. Your first upgrade after the people buy the first product, you're putting together your funnel. Gonna give them an upsell that basically helps them to enjoy what they've just bought. So in other words, it doesn't you don't want to give them something that completes the product because they should get the complete product when they buy it. What you're giving them in that first upsell is you want to think, well, what would really make these people like this thing more, right? And you want to make that part of your first upgrade. The second upgrade, you want to help the customer to enjoy the product and get faster results, right? That's the second upgrade. The third upgrade should be associated with something they got to come back to you for, some kind of continuity purchase, right? That's what the third upsell. So when you add a GPT, you need to make sure that it's following those funnel science laws. So you could put a different GPT at every upgrade as long as it helps you in these elements, right? You add a GPT, make sure that it helps your customer to enjoy that first product. If you add a GPT to the second upgrade, it should help your customer to enjoy the product with faster results. If you add the GPT into a third upgrade, it should be associated with some kind of recurring or continuity purchase. Let's talk about using your GPT to list build. Assuming you have these other two processes in place. Now, again, I'm not, no, those two things don't go away. So please do not think that I'm going to create a GPT to help me to build my list, but I'm not going to have a USP in there. Can't do it, right? USP, it has to have USP in it. GPTs should lead to an upsell or cross-sell. That has to be in there. So assuming you have those processes in there, you again, there should be something unique to you and keeping the customer engaged. Now, the point of it, a opt-in bribe. What's the point of an opt-in bribe? It's to get the customer into your product line and decide to make a purchase. Now, if you think, now here's something that information marketers, quite frankly, have kind of forgotten in a rush to teach that you need to have an opt-in bribe. Just to get somebody on your list means nothing. Well, we don't want to have people on our list. That's not the point. The point of getting people into our list is to get them into the product line. So you got to follow through. So you can't stop at creating an opt-in bribe that gets them onto your list. You've got to keep the pressure on inside of the bribe to get them to make a purchase, to decide, to get them into your product line. That's why you list build. Because if people are on your list and they're not going to buy anything, well, now again, I'm not saying that, everybody's going to be ready to buy as soon as they land on your list, but they're not doing you any good on there. Right? And especially now, I mean, as of the recording of this, Google and Yahoo, they're tightening up the reins on who's going to be in your inbox. And you got a bunch of people on your list and they're not buying anything. They're not engaged. They're not interested. They just got the bribe. You don't need them. Right? So the point of getting a bribe, the point of creating a bribe is you follow it. You're drawing the customer into your product line, not just putting them on your list. So when you if you're going to use a GPT as part of your list building, program it right. Program it so that it gets them thinking about what you want them to buy. Not just informing them, not just giving them cool stuff. You want to get them thinking about, right? However you program it. Now you've got full reign over how that GPT works. And you keep working with it until it directs the customer into thinking about what you want them to buy. Now, this is going to sound mercenary and it's not going to sound right, but you're going to if you do this on a regular basis, you're going to find that the people that are coming through your products and even the people who are using the GPT are going to be the right people. So don't just help people, right? Don't that's if you want to just help people, right? If you just want to help people, do it outside of your business. That's fine. It's fine for you to want to help people, not with your business, not with your information marketing business, not with your list. You're not just here to help people, right? If all you're here to do is to help people, then you will not live to fight another day because you have all these freebie seekers on your list, and they're not going to buy anything, and you haven't asked them to buy anything. So basically, you will see the profit lacking, and eventually, you just won't want to do the business anymore. So don't just help people. You help them by showing them what they need to have for your product. Use the GPT in your bribe to show the customer that they need you, right? That's what you're trying to do. And so let's get into what using GPTs for partnerships and really affiliate arrangements. I just want to make this brief statement. I mean, if you have a team account, you can work with other people with the creation of your GPT. It's one way for you to partner with other people, though, right? So that's pretty much all I want to say about partnering. I do want to get into what you're going to do as an affiliate marketer. And you can create and offer the use of a proprietary use of GPTs just for your customer. So, in other words, if people buy through your affiliate link, you're going to create something really special for them inside of a GPT, has USP in it, they can't get it elsewhere, and they're only going to get it if they buy it through your affiliate link, right? Now again, now this is not easy to do what I'm telling you to do now, but if you really want these things to help you to monetize, they shouldn't be easy. Well, so don't expect it to be easy just because they're easy to create. If you want these things to help you to produce online income, you don't want it to be easy. You want it to be hard for somebody to follow behind you. And so all the other factors of your GPT should be in place. USP, upsell, cross-sell, list building, all those things should be in place. What you want this to be is you want to say, if you buy through my affiliate link, I'll give you access to this GPT. Now, it's not going to make sense to people at the beginning, right? But here's what's going to happen. You're going to get people inside the GPT, and they're going to have an experience with your GPT that they did not think they were going to have. And the very next time you do one as an affiliate offer, with an affiliate offer, people will know the value you provide. So again, you got to make sure these things are going to be valuable for people, and it's valuable in a way that only you can create it. Another way you can do this, right? If you're selling an information product, give it to your affiliates, right? And basically, you can tell them, well, hey, you can give this away as part of your bonus, right? It's a good way to do that. And on all these things are basically a way of you being able to earn additional affiliate income. That's what we're trying to do here. I want to talk about direct marketing and direct response. One of the things that people do with GPTs is they help them to write sales letters, and that's a very good thing to do if you don't understand copywriting. Now, I will say this. You want to make sure that you understand copywriting. You do need to understand direct response. If you are an information marketer and you do anything online, you're selling with sales letters and you're selling with scarcity and headlines, all those things are coming from direct response. So at some point, even if you get the chatbot to explain it to you, you need to understand direct response. You need to have it in your head. Having said all that, you can program your GPTs with your favorite copywriting method. So if you like problem, agitate, solve, program a GPT in order to do that. And basically, you're going to keep this GPT private. You're going to ask it to help you write sales letters, and you want to have it to be based on your level of expertise and other factors. So when you're programming this GPT, you want to program it with the particulars of your business. You want to make sure you're putting the your experience in there, the things you wanted to say about you. And you can do this for different elements of your copywriting, right? So you can do one for sales letters, you can do one for emails. Now, again, I don't recommend that you rely on these things. It's only to get a start of the process. So don't be in a habit of, because copywriting is a very cognitive process, and it's a personal process. It's like bringing somebody into your living room and telling them, here's why you need to buy this. It's a very personal element, even though it's in a sales letter, and you cannot replicate that with a chatbot, right? Eventually, you've got to have some element of your personal persona in it, and so it needs to be part of the process, not the whole process. And as you get to know your customers, program that knowledge into your GPT. All right, so you can do all that inside of your custom GPT for your direct response models and GPTs. I do want to talk about educational marketing. When you are educating, what you're doing is you're helping your customers think through their own process. So the point of education online is different, right? So if you're trying to educate, so education has traditionally been you kind of telling the student what to think, right? What to do, how to think about it. What you're really trying to do is you're trying to share principles. You're trying to get them to use the principles so that they do it in their own way. They think through their own process. And so here's what you got to do, right? So if you're a marketer, or if you are a seller, or you have written a book, or you have these things that you teach, certain elements, certain core principles, all of those constitute what I call a diagnostic process. If I go to someone who teaches keto, they have their own way that people can get success with using the keto diet. Well, they say, well, first you go to the store, then you go to this aisle, and you do it this way. They have their own process. Now, whatever your diagnostic process is for what you sell, you should program that into your GPT. So you should have a GPT for all your diagnostic processes, for what your opinion is. Whatever your opinion is about your market or niche, you put that into your diagnostic process, you put that into your GPT. And none of this, right? None of this is fast. All this takes time and effort. And your customer is going to need to have their own ChatGPT account. That's kind of important to understand. When you're trying to leverage this into an affiliate program. Okay, any questions? Any questions?